So I've got to watch my potty mouth this week.
Why?
Complaints.
You got a lot of complaints?
Tons.
Leander, you don't swear generally during the show.
No.
But as soon as you know that we're done recording,
then
that's
when
the F-bombs start to drop. You're like a B2 F-bomb dropper.
Right, exactly.
You got to make up for the 30-minute period that you...
well, I've been holding it in, yeah.
Right. Hello and welcome to the Cult Cast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. My name is Airfone Elijah. I'm here, as usual, with my pal, Buster Heine. Hey, Buster.
Yo, yo.
Leander Caney's back with us. Hey, Leander.
Hey, have fun.
We have got a great show planned for this week. Probably one of the best shows we've done. That's not saying it's going to be good, but it's going to be better than the rest that we've done. That's for sure. And hey, guys, before we start... I've got a little surprise for you. Well, it's not really a surprise because I actually told you about it before we started recording. We have got a sponsor this week.
Woohoo!
Who's paying in real American currency. That was surprising to me. And they obviously have not listened to the show, and I'm grateful for that. But this episode of the Cult Cast is sponsored by Audible. I'm sure you've heard of Audible. They're one of the best places on the web to get audiobooks, and you can get your free audiobook by going to audiblepodcast.com/cultcast, CULCAST. We get our very own URL. Isn't that special?
Did you just misspell it?
Did I spell it?
I think you just misspelled it, didn't you?
No, CULTCAST. Okay.
All right, maybe it's my old dodgy old ears.
I don't know. Maybe I did misspell it. audiopodcast.com/cultcast. And you guys can get your free audiobooks there, and we appreciate Audible sponsorship. Hey, we have got a really fun story to begin with. And Buster, I think you are the one that wrote this. You posted that video of this guy who got the magnets implanted in his wrist. So he got hold of his iPod Nano.
Yeah.
And I watched this video. Leander, you watched it too, right?
I couldn't watch all of it. It was too scary.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't it really creep you out? Oh,
yeah,
man.
Totally.
Well,
plus the
Buster,
blood
what
gushing
your title
out of his
didn't say, like, I could barely watch it. But what you didn't say is this guy didn't get four magnets implanted. He implanted them himself. Yeah. He looked like the Terminator sitting there with, like, a freaking scalpel and, like, some kind of weird tool that he was using to put these magnets in his wrist.
Yeah. It was really gross.
Dude, it was nasty. And then he can just magnet his iPod Nano right to his wrist. Why would anyone want to do this? I have no idea. Buster, did he say anything about why he was doing this?
I didn't find any quotes from him directly. Just, you know, I guess there is that convenient factor that, oh, I just have to throw my iPod at my wrist and it's magically there. But
yeah.
I mean, it's definitely an inconvenience to go through some body modification to get that.
Well, did you see his face? I mean, he had more metal on his face than, Tutankhamun anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure it just got more extreme the lower on his body you go.
Right. I wonder,
what's going to go on?
That?
Say again?
Do you, like, make your hand numb before you do something like that? Or
well,
do
that's
you just,
what I was wondering, too, because through. In the video, he didn't really, I didn't see him use anything to numb his arm. I mean, he just started cutting his arm open and putting these things in there.
I think, you know, the pain is the point, really.
Is probably. It really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry, what were you going to say, Leander?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, he wasn't wincing, and he was talking away, and it was frustrating because they overdubbed it with some music, and you're like, come on, let's hear what the guy's saying. I want to see what he's thinking too. I mean, is he going to put some in his pec so he can hang his iPad on his chest? Or?
Instead of that Flava Flav iPad thing, right. He's got two nipple implants.
I mean, if you haven't seen the video, the guy is totally tatted up, right? He has tattoos up and down his arms. I think he even had some on his face. Am I remembering that correctly? Like, did he have tattoos on his face? So, like, obviously this guy is into body modification. He's probably got, like, 8 Prince Alberts. But, I mean, how you'd ever even think about to do this is beyond me. And then to actually do it yourself, sitting in a chair, operating on your own arm.
Yeah.
Hats off to him, man.
Yeah, hats off to that guy. and his Night of Prince Alberts. He's probably, never mind. I could keep going with this, but I'll stop.
And I, well, what other things could you do? I mean, which other products could you hang off of your body?
You know what? Because people do those, they do them like in their heads, right? You know, have you ever seen that where they give themselves like fake horns?
Yeah.
Yes.
You do stuff with your head and everything as well. I mean, yeah, I guess anywhere that you could put a magnet.
Well, he could probably hang something off his ring, off his nose, right? What could you hang off of that? His iPhone? I mean, then he wouldn't have to, like, have a... He wouldn't have to...
You could talk straight into it. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe then Siri would finally understand what you're saying.
I doubt it.
Yeah, me too. Well, hey, I want to tell you guys a little story. And it has to, it goes along with a piece that we posted earlier this week. So, and this is really cool. So... Today, I bought a new iPad, and before taxes, I paid $304 for it, which it was an iPad 2.
A new iPad or a new iPad?
I'm sorry. Let me be more specific. So it's a 16 gigabyte iPad 2 refurbished. But if you've never bought a refurbished Apple product, for those of you who are listening, it's like buying a brand new product. They replace the casing on the device. They put a brand new battery in the device, and they give it the same Apple warranty that you get from purchasing a new device. So it's really a good deal. Mm-hmm. So Apple recently slashed their prices on all their refurbished iPads. Their 16 gigabyte models used to be $350. Now they're $319. Their 32 gig, they used to be $449. Now they're $399. And they did this for the original iPads too. Do you guys know, is this a temporary thing or is this a permanent thing?
I'm not sure.
Leander, any ideas?
I haven't got a clue either. No, I can't remember them slashing prices on refurbished products before. Yeah.
I can't either. But they've done it, and they didn't say it was temporary, so I'm assuming it's permanent. And you got to think they probably have a bunch of iPad 3s finally in the queue that have been refurbished now, where they're going to need to start selling them, right?
Yeah.
So they probably withhold them for a certain amount of time, and in order to sell the iPad 3 at a normal refurbished price, they kind of had to lower the prices on the other models, don't you guys think?
Because
otherwise they would have been too close in price.
So the iPad 2?
Yeah, because the iPad 2 was selling at normal refurbished prices. Actually, that's not true.
How much is the iPad 2?
An iPad 2 is $399.
$399.
Brand
so an
new.
iPad,
brand
a new.
New
iPad refurbished would be $450.
Yes, that's probably true. So in any case... if you guys want, check out the Apple Store. They got a bunch of refurbished. They're getting them in stock all the time, and the prices are insanely great. Hey, you like what I did there?
Yeah, nice one. Very clever.
Do they carry them at the Apple Store?
I think you can only do it online.
Yeah, okay. That's why.
But let me tell you about a little trick that I've been using for about 2 years to buy my Apple products, and this works with iPads as well. So... I have a Discover card. It's a credit card, and they're not sponsoring me to say this, but one of the great things about the card is they have an online portal that if you link to a store, you get a certain percentage off. And they have a bunch of, you know, retailers that they work with, and Apple's one of them. So you can get 5% back on anything that you buy from Apple, and that includes refurbished items. It includes education store items. So you could buy an education product, you know, which is already discounted, and then get 5% back. So if you have a Discover card, make sure you use their online portal to link to Apple. And then once you buy it, Discover card will refund you 5% of your purchase. And that's how got my iPad for $304. But I've done this with MacBook Pros. I mean, and you'll get like, you know, $150 back, depending on, well, not $150, more like $125, depending on how expensive your purchase was. But that's a lot of money back.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Especially if you're using the educational discount, because, my gosh. Well, what's that?
Are you still in high school? Is that something I found?
I think even at a community college.
Well, the way I think about it is I behave like I'm still in high school.
Oh, yeah. At the University of Life.
University of Life. Well, no, I'm definitely not endorsing that you say you're in some type of college or something if you're not. But as far as I know, Apple doesn't check. I mean, you
yeah,
tell
they
them.
Do
they?
Yeah, they have never checked with me. I just bought a cinema display a couple days ago, and you just have to give them your student ID. Every time I buy one, something with an education discount, you got to give them your ID.
They have never asked me once. I just tell them what college I was going to at the time.
You went 25 years ago.
Yeah, and they've always just given it to me. But they've never asked me for my ID ever.
Maybe they don't. I just always hand mine over to prove it.
Oh, wait. So. Do you do it in the store?
Yeah, I always do it in the store.
So in the store, yes, they will ask you for it. But online, they don't check, I don't think.
Hmm. Well, online, you have to say the name of the school or institution that you're going to, and it connects that. But I don't think it – you're right. I don't think it checks whether you're there or not. But we did it – you know, my wife was on the PTA, so when we bought a machine for the house, I used that. You know, I said she's on the – they allow PTA members to to get a discount too.
Really? Yeah. That is really, really cool.
Teachers, students, PTA members, and I think there's another one as well, I think. I forget what the other category is. But
well, the discount is significant, too. I mean, they give you a discount off the base price of whatever you're buying, but they also give you discounts on like the upsell. So if you want a MacBook Pro with the SSD drive, they discount the SSD drive, too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you're in college, if you're in high school, or if you're just a liar, you should definitely get the educational discount because it saves you quite a bit of money. And you can use the Discover card trick and save yourself even more. Let's move on. Leander, this has been a huge story this week, and you're the one that broke it, so I want to talk to you about it. Tell us about this new Apple HD TV. I know you have a source who we're not going to disclose, but you did this post about this new Apple HD TV, and you had some mock-ups designed to show what it's going to look like, and it seems pretty cool. I mean, it basically looks like a giant like cinema display. Is that right?
Yeah, that is what the source said. The source saw a prototype and said that it looks just like a cinema display, but much bigger. Unfortunately, they couldn't, you know, they didn't have the specs, the exact sizes or size. You know, they saw one, but they didn't have the size of that Apple's going to be shipping this thing in. But we talked to an analyst who was also speculating. I mean, he was kind of weird when talked to him. He was like, "Oh, I can't really, you know, I don't want to speculate about channel rumors," which kind of led me to think that there were some channel rumors. Uh-huh. But he said, you know, they're probably going to come in 2 to 4 different sizes, from 40 inches to 60 inches. They would use, you know, regular LCD panels because there's already a, you know, massive production already in the supply chain. Mm-hmm. In other words, they're cheap. And if they use anything exotic, they're not going to be able to. These things are going to be really expensive. The interesting thing was that this thing has the prototype that I saw had a really advanced FaceTime camera.
This was the part which I thought was awesome.
Right. The FaceTime camera, you know, this allows you to do free FaceTime video calls over the web.
To any Apple device, right?
Right. And in fact, Apple TV is the only Apple device that doesn't have FaceTime built in. So, you know, all the computers, the iPhone, the iPad, you could make free calls using this TV. Mm-hmm. to any Apple device. And in fact, I think, Buster, aren't some other people supporting FaceTime? Didn't some other companies opt in to support it?
Opt in to support FaceTime? Not that I'm aware of, but I mean, it could happen.
Didn't Apple release it as a standard, or was going to release it as a standard?
Not that I'm aware of.
Anyway, so apparently this camera can zoom in right across the room to people's faces, so you don't have to get off the couch if you're making a call. And if you get up and go to the window, it'll follow you around. So it'll follow you around the room, so you don't have to stand in one place, and you don't have to stand right in front of the TV to make a call.
That is cool. I mean, can you imagine how awesome it would be to like sit there? And, I mean, they could build all sorts of technologies into this. I mean, I play a lot of Xbox with my friends online, and if they had an Apple TV, we could see each other's faces while we were playing.
Why would you want to do that?
Buster, we could finally do video calls together, and I could have my shirt off so you could see, like, my full body while we're talking.
We could do that right now. I mean, we got...
Yeah, but I can't do it on my couch. I have to be in front of my,
you're right.
My MacBook, okay. And that doesn't have a camera that will zoom on me.
You could give me the George Costanza pose in your boxers.
You know, I honestly, I was never a Seinfeld fan. So I don't even know
what's your problem.
Well, you know, it's going to think of chat roulette. That's what this thing is going to turn into, right? With this thing in everyone's living room.
Yeah, definitely.
But actually, Wired had a really interesting report this week about the same time. You know, Christina Bonington, one of the Wired reporters, she got a demo of this huge wall-sized TV called the Surface, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Surfaces. And it's a prototype of a TV of tomorrow. And it was kind of like TV gone crazy. It was, you know, you would watch a TV show, but then had all the Twitter feeds and Facebook, and you could do exactly like this kind of FaceTiming, chatting with your friends. This is all sort of displayed like across this massive wall-sized screen. So it's like they actually made it from six different LCD panels.
Wow.
But it showed, you know, as well as watching. So, I mean, there's no such thing as just sort of sitting in front of the TV anymore. I mean, there's tickers and information coming in everywhere. You're broadcasting the same time that you're watching. It's much more interactive. And it turns the TV, you know, from a one-way system into a two-way system. So, you know, you're sending out as much information as you're bringing in.
That's really cool. Leander, talk to us about Siri support for the HDTV, because that was part of it too, right? It was going to have some type of Siri integration.
Right. The FaceTime call was initiated and controlled by Siri.
So you could be like, Siri, call my sister, and it will say, did you want me to search the web for blisters?
That's precisely what happened. I know, yeah. There's a hilarious YouTube video out there, isn't there?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, exactly. I have no idea. They didn't say whether it worked well or not, but... it's supposed to have FaceTime for making calls. No information on whether Siri was also the main UI for the TV. Let's hope not.
Let's hope that they're obviously going to include
a remote
app
on your iOS device.
That would be awesome. So, well, that's really cool. I'm really excited about it. You know, just first thought, I doubt they would release four models. Do you guys? I mean, that doesn't seem like a very Apple thing to do. Like, to me, you're going to get two. You're going to get a medium-sized model, and then the you give us all your money model, right? I mean, there's going to be one that's 40 inches, and there's going to be one that's 60 inches.
No, the TV's a different industry. I mean, you're going to need 40, 48, and then something between 48 and 60. So, I don't know, four to three, that sounds fine to me.
Wow, really?
It was Leander. When people were saying it would only be one, that just didn't make sense.
That didn't make sense to me either, but it seemed like something Apple would do. Leander, what do you think? Two models, four models, five models?
Well, when we've discussed this in the past, people have noted that it's going to be difficult to stock a lot of TVs. And these are big, you know, items. You get three or four of those in one of those little Apple stock rooms, you know, and the whole thing is full, you know, before you know it, of 60-inch TV sets. Mm. So this... I don't know whether that's going to be an issue or not, you know, whether they're going to be able to stock these things at the local Apple stores, especially the smaller ones. But I think, I don't know. You know, I honestly don't know. I think two sounds kind of right. So three, you know, I maybe three. I'm going to say three. Because if you look at all of their other products, there's often...
there's usually three sizes.
Yeah.
13, 15, and 17 for MacBooks
for a long time. Yeah.
Well, gosh, I'm excited about this. You know, all the TVs out there are all kind of similar, and just from the mock-ups that we did, I mean, just having a giant Apple Cinema display, how cleanly it sits there, you know, and everything's going to be integrated in on that beautiful monitor. It's just going to be really cool. I just hope I can afford it.
Right.
Let's move on.
Plug in Discover Card. I'm going to be sponsors.
Oh, hey, right. Yeah. Discover Card, if you're listening...
Yeah, go out there and get a Discover card. It's really easy.
That's right, especially if you're in college and you're 18 and don't know how to manage your credit. Speaking of sponsors, I want to talk a little bit more about Audible. So Audible is our sponsor this week, and we, of course, appreciate that. Audible is the place to get your audio books on the web. They have over 100,000 titles to choose from. They have virtually every genre you can imagine. And actually, I want to read you guys this little thing that they sent me about the titles that they have, or I should say the genres. They say Audible carries titles in business. Leander, you might be interested in that. Classics. Leander, you actually might be interested in that too. I find it interesting that this is the very in the list of things they sent me. This is the very third thing they list: erotica/sexuality.
That's more my life.
That's more your style, Leander. Fiction. Buster, I think that's probably you. History, you're probably a history buff, right, Buster?
I mean, I have a couple history books, but I'm not a huge one.
Okay. Romance, mysteries, thrillers. They have over 1,000 science and technology titles. They have fantasy and sci-fi titles, over 1,100 of those. They've got everything. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you about a book that I really love. Buster, you are familiar with Game of Thrones, right? The series that HBO is doing?
Yeah, you know it.
And if you're not familiar with Game of Thrones, fantastic fantasy series by George R.R. Martin. I'm not sure what the two R's stand for. Use your imagination.
Roberto Rodrigo.
Rodrigo Martin. That sounds about right. Amazing show based upon his books. It's called Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Fire. And Audible has all of those books. And if you sign up for Audible, audiblepodcast.com/cultcast, you can have any book you want, including the Game of Thrones, any of the Game of Thrones books for free. You get a free 30-day trial. You get a book for free. And one of the great things about the books, of course, is, well, A, the Audible or the audiobooks is you don't have to read, which are, if you're 95% illiterate like me, that really helps a lot. But also, you know, the books have a lot more stuff that you don't get to see in the show. Like, I always watch a show with people who have read the books, and they're always like, oh, that's not what happened, or, oh, it's way better when they do it like this in the book. So you get a lot more information. If you're into fantasy, I highly, highly recommend that you check out the Game of Thrones series. Awesome, awesome books. audiblepodcast.com/cultcast. You'll get your free audiobook. And thank you to Audible for sponsoring us.
Or if you also like, huge books, so Audible, that's, you know, a really easy way to consume those books.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, for me, I would rather listen to audiobook, in all honesty, especially when I'm at the gym working on my level 10 physique, because I mean, when do we get a chance to read? Buster, you're in school, right? So
I get chances to read all day every day.
Yeah, but you're reading books that you don't want to read.
No, I read books that I love. Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, you take classes like on subject matters that you care about.
Oh,
so,
man, in college, it's pretty nice. I had to take a bunch of bullcrap classes. I was like reading statistics books. Tried doing that on a Saturday afternoon. Hey, let's move on. Let's talk about multi-user support on the iPad, shall we? Now, before we talk about it, this story was overblown, Buster, as you mentioned, and I agree. It looks like a developer sent a bug request into Apple and filed the fact that he wanted multi-user support on the iPad as a bug. And basically what that means is Apple would build in, you know, multi-user support on the iPad. So, Leander, this would probably actually be really useful for you. So you sign into your profile on your iPad, and it brings up your wallpaper, your apps. But then when you're done, you sign out, and your kids can sign into their profiles, and all the porn apps go away. And they can just watch Netflix, right?
I was going to say something really awful there about kiddie porn, but I won't say
yeah,
that.
Well, we don't need any more complaint letters. So this developer sends us in, and it looked like the response that Apple gave back, they were kind of admitting that, oh yeah, we're working on this. You know, they kind of were like, we know this is a known issue, this is being investigated. But it kind of looked like this was kind of a boilerplate response. Is that right, Buster?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, Apple actually sends those responses on a lot of issues, you know, that they're investigating it. And that's what you're going to tell anybody for your customer service, like, oh, yeah, that's something that we're looking at. Even if you're really not, you know, you reading their email is you investigating it technically, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, it kind of seemed like, I mean, in all honesty, of all the devices that are out there, it would make the most sense to build this into the iPad, right? Because the iPad gets passed around a lot. I mean, there's a lot of different users for it.
Right.
But, I mean, as far as we know, Apple probably isn't building this in anytime soon. But who knows? I guess the point is we really have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, clutching at straws. I mean, to think of this as
yes, a solicitor. Yes, thank you. That's a great way to phrase it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a huge reach. I mean, although I think it's something they've got to think about in the future. But of course, you know, if you make it multi-user support, then you sell less iPads, right? One per household, five.
That's true. But I mean, do you really? I mean, Leander, would you buy more iPads because there could only be one profile on each one?
Well, no, but think about it. Like, let's say they do come out with like the iPad mini where it's 7 inches, and then you have like one big iPad, and then everybody else in the family has, you know, the iPad, rumored iPad mini that's $250. I mean, that's really attractive, you know?
That's true. That would be really cool, especially for the less expensive iPads.
Right. I think philosophically, though, it's like, you know, it's a very personal device, and I right. think, you know, I think Apple, that's why Apple isn't doing it, because they want people to feel, you know, ownership of their iPad. It's their iPad. You know, it's not a family iPad. It's their iPad.
Yeah, that's really like true. I don't like it when other people use my iPad.
Yeah, like when Irfan touched my iPad at CES, yeah, I just got really hand. Weird about it.
Came back all greasy.
You slap yeah. my hand. You're like, stop it. I was like, okay, Irfan, dude.
Ah, don't play that.
Yeah, don't open that. Yeah.
Really, I don't want him to know my secrets.
You have so many bodybuilding apps on your iPad. How many bodybuilding apps does one need?
At least 30.
That's about
how many. Gotta know the right one.
Well, hey, talking about the iPad, AT&T CEO, what's the guy's name? Ralph De La Vega. I like his last name.
De La Vega. Like in Zorro.
That's right. That's where I know that from. I just watched that movie recently. Still holds up. That's a yep. tangent, though. Hey, so he was talking to CNET, and they were talking about family data sharing plans. We've talked about this a few times, and the only reason I can think of we haven't seen one yet is because carriers are greedy, and they want you to pay for data, you know, for every device that you own, which is basically what you have to do now, right? I mean, you have to pay for your iPhone data plan, and if you want to use data on your iPad, heaven forbid, there's another $30 a month. So it looks like AT&T is going to be rolling out a family data plan. They haven't given a ton of information about it, but essentially what I'm kind of hoping for is not just, you know, sharing data with your whole family. So you buy like, you know, 5 gigabytes and everyone can use it, but sharing it with, you know, every device that you own. And you know, it's like right now it's just so expensive to use data on your iPad. It would be cool if they let you tether your iPad to your iPhone so you can get a Wi-Fi right. iPad, you know? Yeah. Do you guys think that they're going to be doing something like that? Or do you think that this is going to be more like a, you buy a 5 gigabyte plan and then everyone who's in your family, you know, can use that data as long as their devices are, you know, like data enabled, or I should say mobile enabled. So they have the mobile radios.
What do you well, think isn't that kind of what you're talking about, because you're talking about getting a family plan where you can use it on maybe, let's say you buy a family plan, it's 10 gigabytes, you can use it on up to like 3 devices. So a individual could use that for their iPad and their iPhone, plus their girlfriend's iPhone or wife or whatever.
That would so, be I mean, cool.
You have multiple scenarios with that could happen.
But I wonder if they'll let you tether, right? Because they say they'll let you share data, but does that mean you can share data with things that aren't 3 or 4G enabled? So
well, that's what you said.
What's that? That's, no, so you mean, think they
you
said, will?
You're saying tethering.
Yeah, like, so I guess truly sharing your data with all your devices and not just, because right now if you want to tether, they charge you, I think it's $20, right?
Right. I'm not sure on that.
Because that's kind of in the spirit of sharing, right? It's like, oh, you want to share? Oh, well, here's a $20 fee to share.
That's too much sharing.
That's too much sharing.
That's oversharing.
Well, it's like they also said that they really regretted giving unlimited data plans when the iPhone first came out. You know, they don't
that's true.
Share and use a lot of data.
You know, honestly, I think if anything would pull me away from my unlimited data plan, it would be this. I mean, if they said you can buy, it wouldn't have to be, they couldn't do it with some bullcrap plan, right? They couldn't say, oh, well, now instead of spending $60, you know, $30 for each data unlimited data plan, you can spend $100. And that's their lowest tier, you know, so they're getting you to spend even more. Like, it'd have to be like, hey, spend $40, and now you have 5 gigs for all the devices in your household. I think that might actually get me a switch.
To Verizon?
No, to an unlimited plan, or to a tiered plan, right?
Oh, to a
because
tiered
because right
plan?
Now I'm on an unlimited plan, and they keep trying to do things to get us to switch to a tiered plan because they don't want you to have unlimited data. Leander, do you still have unlimited data?
No, like an idiot, I switched it over to a tiered plan.
Has it been more or less expensive for you since you did that?
Well, initially, you know, I think the reason I switched is because it looked like it was going to be a better option initially. But then, you know, we all use, we're on a family plan. So my daughter and son and wife, you know, use it up like crazy. And me too. So we got bumped up to a higher, you know, we had to keep getting a higher plan, data plan.
But the only way to get a family plan is to give up your unlimited plan, right? Like, they don't give those away anymore.
I can't remember. They definitely don't offer them anymore. I think, you know, when I first got the iPhone, it was on an individual plan. And
I still have unlimited as a family plan. I don't know if that's grandfathered in or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh, I wonder if I switch to a family plan, if they let me keep that, because I have an unlimited plan too, but it's just for my iPhone.
I doubt they'd let you because I added iPhone 3GS for my brother like a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. And his is like a separate plan. So, you know, I have a family plan with two phones on it. But then his, because it was bought after they let you grandfather in on the unlimited plan, they wouldn't let his phone be a part of my already existing unlimited plan, even though it was a family plan.
Man, that would really be a data killer for them.
Oh yeah,
you have a whole family using one unlimited plan,
right?
That would be awesome. Well, anyway, we'll see what they do. I mean, whatever would make it cheaper, because data is the one thing about owning an iPhone or an iDevice that really is just crazy expensive. So hopefully they release something soon. Let's talk about our final topic of the week, and these are our apps of the week. You guys like how I added that echo?
Yeah.
So I don't know why I thought that was appropriate, but it's kind of grown on me since last episode. So here's how this works. We've each picked an app that we love this week. We're going to pitch our app to each other, and then we're each going to vote on which app sounds the best to us, with the one caveat being you cannot vote for your own app. So hopefully one app is going to win, because last week we had a little of a faux pas when we had a tie. So
somebody didn't know how to do math.
So but I fixed that by cheating, and that seemed to work well. So let's do this. I'll go first. Buster or Leander, you could have the tie-breaking vote just in case we all vote for a separate app and no one wins. All right. So you get you get the tiebreaker this week.
Okay.
Okay, my app is a photo or a photography app, and my iPhone is locked, so I'm opening it up right now, and it's by Polaroid, and I was really shocked to see Polaroid, who is not selling Polaroid cameras anymore as far as I know, release this really cool app called Polamatic, Polamatic, and what Polamatic allows you to do, it's similar to Instagram, so you take a photo, and then you can apply a Polaroid frame around it. And there's all these different frames. There's like the frame that somebody sat on, the frame that somebody wrote on. So some of them look old, some of them look new. You can have like a vintage frame. And then you can apply filters to the photos themselves, just like an Instagram. And they have all these different filters. And then you can put different labels on the Polaroid. So I had, like, for one of my photos, I had like a little piece of tape going across the bottom, and I had a little note scribbled on it. So it really creates a really realistic looking Polaroid, a vintage looking Polaroid. And then it's really well connected. You could share it on Instagram. You can share it on Facebook. You could share it on Tumblr. You could share it on Twitter. I mean, this thing's linked to everything. And I think it's a dollar. It's dirt cheap. And I love it. I've been using it a lot because I like vintage photographs. And if you love Instagram, I think you're going to love Polamatic. And that's my pick of the week. Buster, are you going to talk about your favorite fart app?
I don't have a favorite fart app.
They're all so great.
I tried to get some suggestions from fans. Somebody told me to use the Settings app. Well, I was really tempted about that one. I think my pick of the week would be Hero Academy. It's kind of
like
a
sounds.
What?
Sorry, I'll be quiet. You go ahead.
Oh, so Hero Academy, it's kind of like a version of like chess or maybe like Plants vs. Zombies, where you have two opponents, and you're facing against real life people. Just like chess, you have, you know, different pieces that you can use to try and destroy each other's crystals on the board. I usually play with Cult of Max writer John Brownlee, except he's been scared to rematch me lately. But it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, it's fantasy. It takes strategy and everything. So it makes you think. It's not, you know, just some dumb tapping game or fart app or, you know, Instagram wannabe app. So I don't know. That's my pick of the week.
Okay. Leander.
Okay. Excuse me. So I'm going to go to Europe this summer. We're going to go to a bunch of countries where I don't speak the language. So I looked at this iTranslate. It's a voice recognition translation app. So you tell it the phrase. You choose the languages, you know, from and to. And then you tell it the phrase you want to it to translate. And it's kind of like Siri. It makes the same Siri noise. And then it uses, you know, sort of like a Siri-like voice to output. And it's actually a lot of fun. You know, I was playing around this. You can put you can translate from UK English to American English. So I was saying things like, where's the nearest fish and chips, governor? And it would and it came back, you know, in an American accent. But it has a bunch of different languages. So there's, you know, there's all the ones you would expect, like French, German, Italian, Spanish, but also Russian, Latvian, Catalan, Hindi, Indonesian, and it, you know, it's kind of like Siri. It's sort of, you know, maybe it's getting used to my voice, because actually initially it wasn't that. The recognition was a bit dodgy.
Yeah.
But you can see what it thinks you said, because it brings it up just like Siri on the screen, so you can see the you know, what you think you did. And you can edit it and then tap the button again and it'll output it. Do you want me to give it a go now for Russian?
Yeah, let's try. Let's hear it.
All right, hold on. Let me hold it up to the microphone. You may not have a chance to hear it.
All okay. Right.
So, where can I buy an old Russian missile? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, isn't that fun?
But we have no way to know if that's accurate or not.
Well, it's, you know, it's the English that says, so where can I buy an old Russian missile? And then unfortunately it's in Cyrillic, so I can't really read what it says. But
you're going to like broadcast that to some Russian guy. It's going to be asking him to missile you in the old Russian.
See, that's the thing. I can't really see using this. Can you imagine sitting in a cafe and it's like, you know, bring me a glass of wine, garçon.
Dude, I'm sorry. If you use that in France, you're going to be slapped by a man with a small mustache.
I thought you're supposed to be rude.
Oh my gosh. Because, I mean, the French get so pissed off about Americans not trying to speak their language.
Yeah, right. And then you hold an iPhone into his face.
Yeah, and then you jam your iPhone in his face and have a robot asking him questions. He's really going to love that.
They're going to love that, aren't they? Yeah.
But, you know, oddly, I bet you the Germans would love it. They'd probably put you on a chair and lift you into the air and, you know, like pump you up and down. Germans love Americans and they love technology.
Yeah, sounds perfect English, so.
Okay, well, I'm ready for my vote. I'm going to go with your app, Leander. What was it called?
iTranslate Voice. There's actually a bunch of different iTranslates. For some reason, there's about 8 of them. And I'm not sure. I don't think they're by the same company. Seems like everybody who does a translation app calls it iTranslate, but this one's called iTranslate Voice.
And is it free? How much does it cost?
It was 99 cents. They just released it this week.
Oh,
and
nice.
So a fair value, if I say so myself.
Yeah, let me see. Who's it by? What's this? Sonico Mobile? Does that sound right?
Who knows?
It's by Sonico, S-O-N-I-C-O Mobile.
Okay. iTranslate Voice, 99 cents. Yeah, Buster, who's your vote going for?
I'm going to go with Leander. His sounded way cooler than yours.
Oh, lame.
All right.
You're just doing that despite me.
Well, he's also the boss, so, you know.
Vintage Polaroids! Vintage Polaroids!
What's the difference between that and Hipstamatic and Instagram? I mean,
exactly.
Nothing. Oh my gosh, so much.
Frame. That's
so much. The Polaroid frame is everything. I mean, someone shows me some picture off Instagram, I'm like, that's crap. They put a freaking Polaroid frame on it. I'm like, where'd you get that? That's awesome. Post that on every photo site you can, because everyone should see that. It makes all the difference.
Why don't you put that to a test? You know, when you do a graphic about this post, you know, take some Polaroid picture and put it in.
See what the readers I might just do that.
All right, you're on.
All right, so Leander, not that your vote counts anymore because you already won, but who are you voting for?
I like this on Hero Academy. I'm going to check that
out. Oh my gosh. Are you serious?
Yeah, I want to kick John Brownlee into submission by taking on crystal meth and. I will dominate. We should have an inter staff competition to see who can be the best on Hero
Academy. That's what me and John were saying, is we need to have a tournament.
Okay, I'm in.
Well, I can't do it because I'm busy. I'm using Polarmatic. Not a single vote for my great app. Well,
oh well, maybe better luck next week. Fine.
It's hard being the only one with great taste. Well, hey guys, that's it for our show. I really enjoyed this show. Wouldn't you guys say it was a good time?
Awesome. All right.
Fantastic. Well, anyway, this has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. Hey, you know, the fun continues on Twitter. We have a great time with all of our listeners and making fun of each other. And if you're on Twitter, you should follow Buster, BST3R, because his tweets are very nice and clever most of the time. And Leander, though he only tweets once in a blue moon, I'm sure if we got him enough followers, he'd find the courage to say something more often.
Someone needs to tell me some jokes. Tell me some jokes on Twitter.
No. Yeah, tell Leander some jokes. That's at L Caney, KAHNEY. What were you going to say, Buster?
I'm just going to say that Leander has more followers than anybody.
Yeah, he does, and he says the least. I think that might say something. And I'm Erfon on Twitter. That's just E-R-F-O-N. And, of course, for all the best news and reviews and how-tos and all that great Apple information that you love, you can follow Cult of Mac. That's just Cult of Mac on Twitter. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. We will see you guys next week. Cool. No F-bombs, Leander.
No, I kept it clean.
So proud of you.
Damn, I forgot.